Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Business, brought to you with the kind compliments of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. I'm Barry Wilkinson. In this edition, the Barbados Chamber of Commerce, through this week's program, will seek to explain and provide a better understanding of the minimum wage order and what it means for employees, employers, and Barbadians in general. And with me is the Executive Director of the Barbados Employers Confederation, Sheena Mears-Granville. Sheena, a pleasant good day to you.
Good day to you, Barry, and it's a pleasure to join you on today's program. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, we're going to talk about sharing the private sector's perspective on the current minimum wage legislation, how wage rates are determined, and the concerns and recommendations of the business community. Now, first of all, let's talk about the Minimum Wage Act. What does the Minimum Wage Act say, and how has it changed wage setting in Barbados?
Okay, I think that's a good place to start. We have a Minimum Wage Act that came into force in 2017, which provides for the establishment of a national minimum wage. Now, this was a significant shift from our earlier wage setting policy, which only applied to shops. So we had the first minimum wage order issued under this act in 2021. So that was the very first time we had a national minimum wage in Barbados. And what the Minimum Wage Act did is it establishes a minimum wage board. So this board is a tripartite body. So tripartite means we have representatives from employers, workers, and government on the board. This board advises the Minister of Labor on minimum wage rates and plays a central role in minimum wage policy. So from the BEC, we do have three representatives on the board representing employers on the minimum wage board. So that is the legislative framework that we have when it comes to minimum wage.
But let's talk about the factors that should be considered then when setting or adjusting a minimum wage. You know, you have inflation, that's a big topic now. Productivity, some employers feel that they're not getting enough out of their employees. And you also have the sector realties. Let's discuss those factors.
Definitely, Barry. So the legislation actually contemplates this. So within the minimum wage legislation, it does list factors that should be considered when looking to establish the minimum wage. So what we at the BEC have been advocating for and the private sector believes is that we need to have evidence-based decision making. So when looking at the minimum wage, we need to have economic data, which of course includes inflation, cost of living, but we have to balance that by also considering productivity factors. So yes, the cost of goods has to go into consideration, but we also have to look at the economic reality and impact. So we have to look at productivity factors. We have to look at the impact on employment, because when we're talking about wage setting, that has an impact on job creation and business sustainability. You know, I always tell persons, only sustainable or only successful businesses employ people. So they're only the ones who can pay wages. So we have to consider what is going to be the impact of employment when it comes to minimum wage. And these factors are established within the legislation. So it's not something new. So when it comes to minimum wage, it cannot only be cost of living or inflation that is factored in, because our legislation lists factors that must be considered when setting minimum wages.
And you look at the fact that there are some key concerns from the employers. You alluded to one or two just now, but especially around the notice periods, cost complications, and how the law is applied, which sometimes a lot of employees do not necessarily understand. How does that become a concern that the BEC can address?
Okay, so you are right. Whenever it comes to wages, we have Both employees and employers would have concerns around wages. From the business community and employer perspective, we would have reached out to our membership to ask them for their input, their considerations around minimum wage. One of the things that we asked about had to do with notice period. And we also looked at maybe at the frequency of increases to minimum wage. When it came to notice periods, one of the things that we have consistently highlighted is the need for adequate notice periods of changes to minimum wage. So most businesses do budgeting, they do projections, they enter into contracts. So having your costs change within a few weeks of knowing that is very difficult to manage. And so we've consistently been advocating that we should have at least a 6-month window where you know this is what the minimum wage will be on X date. So to have adequate notice of increases to minimum wage. We
and
also,
how is it? Yep, sorry, go ahead.
Yes, one of the things that businesses are also looking at is if you have to manage an increase in cost, how does this impact one, the business operations and its ability to be sustainable? And then how does this trickle down to employees? What we do not want in wage setting policies is that when you increase rates, that it impacts persons' take home pay in a negative light. So it's all about considering a balance between increasing the rates, but also ensuring that employment is sustainable and maintaining employment hours and employment levels when you look at wage setting mechanisms.
And how does the minimum wage board get involved? I mean, what is the role of the social dialogue in wage setting?
Well, the construct of the minimum wage board means that social dialogue must occur. Because it's tripartite in nature, we have all three partners represented on the board, and the board has to engage in dialogue to come up with a recommendation. And as I indicated, the legislation provides for the board to make a recommendation to the Minister of Labor. The Minister of Labor will then inform what goes into the minimum wage order. So currently, there is a minimum wage order that is shared with the public, and the public is invited to make responses. I believe the deadline for those responses is up to May 27th. And as I said, the order is informed by the Minister of Labor, and the minimum wage board, though, makes the recommendation to the Minister of Labor.
Now, what are the BACs and the BCCI's recommendations going forward? You know, I want to look at their clarity. I want to look at the flexibility. That's a word that is often used between employers and employees. That's what they sometimes want. What are the recommendations going forward from your perspective?
So one of the things that we recognize is that we have a changing nature of work. So everyone does not work a standard work model. So all persons don't work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. We see things such as compressed work weeks, where persons work 4 days a week, but for 10 hours. So what we would want to ensure is when we have legislation that it accommodates for changing nature of work and of business and how things are managed. So that is one area that we have consistently highlighted, that whenever we have legislation, which includes minimum wage, that we consider the way how the world of work has changed. And sometimes it's changed by employee request, not even by employers. There are employees who prefer to work in a particular manner, and therefore we would want legislation that protects employees, but still allows for flexibility in the workforce where that is required and where it's beneficial to both parties.
Now, the current minimum wage framework is governed by the Act. I mean, you spoke about it earlier. Is that a good thing? Is that good security for both employee and employer?
Well, I would have to say it's definitely a positive thing to have a legislative framework. Given where we came from, where we simply had a Shops Act, which provided for a shop wages council, and therefore only provided a minimum wage for shop assistants, that was very limited. And therefore, persons who worked in other sectors that would not be considered shop assistants they did not have protection under the legislation. This new framework provides protection across the board for all employees. What it also does is allows for the minimum wage board to start to consider if there are sectors that need specific review and specific rates set for those sectors. For example, we see that we have a sectoral rate for security. The legislation allows for the minimum wage board to look at sectors that may require special review. So in that way, it tries to strike a balance between providing minimum coverage across the board, but also looking at special circumstances that may occur within sectors. We have a very small economy if you compare us to other global other countries across the globe, right? And we also have to be very cognizant that when we look at the makeup of our private sector, we have a lot of small and micro enterprises which form the bulk of businesses in Barbados. So when we are looking at minimum wage, we have to consider the structure of our economy as well as the type of businesses and make a determination of what is needed within our economy that will strike that balance between protecting workers, but also creating an environment that allows businesses to grow and strive.
We're speaking with Sheena Mears Granville. She is the Executive Director of the Barbados Employers Confederation. I'm Barry Wilkinson. This is Let's Talk Business as we continue our discussion. We're looking particularly at the minimum wage in Barbados, a private sector perspective. Sheena, you've given us so much information, but there's still so much to discuss. I want to look at what should be informing the minimum wage rate. That's critical to this discussion. The setting of a minimum wage must be rooted in several things. Let's discuss those ingredients as we go along.
Sure, Barry. So looking at those ingredients, inflation is one that people think of immediately when they think of minimum wage. So what persons consider is if prices have increased, therefore the minimum wage must increase. What we are seeing and what we have seen across various countries, when we look internationally at how minimum wages are set, is that cost of living, inflation is an important aspect, but it can never be the only aspect. Because when you're looking at minimum wage, you have to factor in industry-specific realities. You have to consider productivity. You have to consider the level of employment and if that minimum wage will impact employment. You have to consider if the minimum rate is too high, what does that do? Can it drive people into the informal sector? So persons are still hiring workers, but they're not hiring them at minimum wage and therefore breaching legislation. So what you don't want is a minimum wage that is counterproductive to what you're trying to achieve nationally. So in looking at minimum wage rate setting, it's key to strike that balance. And our legislation, as I said, includes the various factors that have to be considered. So this is not the BEC pulling it out of a hat. This is actually what, through social dialogue, we see within our Minimum Wage Act from 2017. It literally states the areas that must be considered when setting minimum wage. And that does include inflation. It does include productivity factors. It does include consideration for job creation and job losses as part of things the Minimum Wage Board must consider when looking at its recommendation for minimum wage.
And the impact on the operating cost, many businesses, especially the small and medium enterprises and labor intensive sectors, they cannot easily absorb sudden wage increases. Let's look at what the results and what could be the impact for them.
Well, Barry, that one is a bit difficult for me to answer at this point. I will say we always try to strike that balance. We do know that sometimes increases in rates and it could be increasing minimum wage, but we also see other operational costs may happen simultaneously, which might have an impact then on how employers are able to offer working hours and if they need to reduce hours, if they need to delay investment based on the operational costs that they do face.
You know, there's something that is a great concern, and that's the lack of adequate notice before the implementation of a new wage rate. We have consistently there being a lot of advocating for the at least 6 months notice to align with budgeting circles and cycles and so on. How do you see that, and how do you view the impact of it?
Well, our membership has been very clear in their communication with us that they believe we need to have adequate notice of an increase in minimum wage. And knowing that, okay, the minimum wage board is reviewing the minimum wage rate is not notice of an increase. You would have a notice of an increase when you actually know what that increase would look like. So our members have said, when they have to consider their budgeting cycles, their periods, their negotiation of contracts, and look at operational adjustments, and therefore they've consistently looked at a timeline of about 6 months as adequate notice of a change. Another aspect they've also given us feedback on was on the frequency of changes to minimum wage. And what they have indicated, the BC membership, is that minimum wage could be reviewed like every 2 to 3 years because there is the understanding and appreciation that you don't want to have the same rate for 5, 6, or 10 years, but it needs to be reviewed on a regular basis.
You know, I want to also discuss the clarity in legislation. The wording of wage orders must be clear because the employers sometimes they need guidance on how overtime could be applied. Many people we've seen in some unions now having a lot of discussions and a lot of quote unquote arguments with employers about how the overtime is applied. If you had to say something about that, as it becomes pertinent to this discussion, how would you discuss that?
I will say that back in 2021, the BEC would have indicated through formal submission some concerns around the actual wording in the Minimum Wage Act. And at that time, we would have engaged in dialogue, and we've had ongoing dialogue since then on some concerns, as I said, on wording in the act. What we are hopeful is that we can get to the point where we can see amendments, draft amendments leading to amendments of actual wording in the act. So we do have some areas of concern. They relate to how do we treat to persons on short-term assignments, on internships. How do we treat to payment of commissions? Over time and how that is applied. We do know that the minimum wage order is the last one stated hourly rates. And we know typically persons are accustomed to hourly rates, but we do know that there are other payment models, for example, persons who are paid piece rate. And there are other jurisdictions who've had to deal with these issues and they found ways to address these issues in a way that, as I said, I keep saying, provides balance. Addressing these issues in a way that protects workers, but also allows for businesses to create an environment that allows them to grow. So legislation has to do both things. And we do believe that there's a way we can, through dialogue, come up with wording and with a structure that addresses some of these issues that allows for that balance in the employment relationship.
We're on the home stretch of Let's Talk Business with the BCCI, and we have none other than Sheena Mears-Granville, Executive Director. Let's discuss and continue to discuss that clarity in legislation, flexibility for non-standard work models, such as like compressed weeks, which we had in the last 2 weeks. We had four bank holidays. Let's just discuss that a little
Well, Barry, I do hope you didn't work a compressed work week over your bank holidays. But the truth is, if you think, for example, many persons in the healthcare field, they work longer hours but
Yes.
fewer days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just think of that example off the bat. So, if you have an employee who is working or who has a desire to work 4 days, 10-hour shifts, that for them, they see that as a way that I have three off days as opposed to two, and it works in terms of managing my work-life balance. Then how do you treat the overtime for that particular employee? So that is an example that I think would resonate to most persons. So when we look at having wage policies, those are some of the things that are non-standard, but we do know that they occur. So how do we ensure that those things are managed within the legislative environment? So those are some of the considerations.
You look at the fact, too, that a lot of companies these days have to battle, not only that we discussed earlier, inflation, but while the economy is driven a lot by tourism, a lot of people are highly dependent upon those tourists spreading that money around. If you had to look at the economy, if you had to look at giving employers some advice about how to market their businesses to bring in these people who are in Barbados spending, what would that advice be?
In terms of growing your business, etc.
Yes.
One of the things that we would consistently advocate, not from our business is people, right? So what we would say is, make sure that you have the right people in the right positions.
Yes.
That will help your business to grow. And therefore, you have to consider your recruitment policies. You have to consider your training policies. But we do know compensation is another factor that has to be in there as well. And compensation, we would look at total rewards. So yes, we're looking at the money that persons take that is deposited in the bank, because that's how most persons are paid now, not via check. So the amount of money that hits the bank, but also you have to look at the non-financial rewards that you offer within your business to incentivize your persons. What if you have the right people in the right posts, you will see it do wonders for your business. So that's one of the things that we consistently advocate for.
You know, you have been fantastic. You know, in closing, we want to reaffirm that, you know, employers support fair wages and the principle of decent work, but we must ensure that wage setting is based on data, is based on accounts for economic reality, and it provides employers with time and clarity to comply. Because at the end of the day, a well-designed minimum wage policy can uplift workers and support business and business sustainability. You know, we striking that balance is in everyone's best interest, and I'm sure that you would support that as we discuss that final thing in closing.
Definitely, Barry, we are of the same mind. What is abundantly clear is that employers support fair wages. That is the response I've received from BEC membership time and time again. And it's about bringing balance in the employment relationship. Legislation has its role and it exists. And therefore, we are looking in terms of national development, we have to balance the needs of the workers as well as supporting business sustainability. So striking that balance is crucial.
We've been talking with Sheena Mears Granville, Executive Director of the Barbados Employers Confederation. And this has been another exciting edition of Let's Talk Business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry. I'm Barry Wilkinson. Thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to hearing and seeing you in another edition. Bye-bye for now.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.